Is it time for a podcast already?
Check 1-2, check 1-2, check 1-2, check 1-2.
I didn't know that.
Welcome back, listeners. Tonight, another episode in the works. We're here with the Garlic Jar Podcast Show. And of course, who am I here with tonight? One and only, I am joined with Jenna.
Hello.
What's going on this week? Anything good?
Not much. Just work and school till I die. Man.
Yeah, no, you know what? It's so weird. It's like, I feel like that's all I've been doing this week, and it's just working on stuff left and right, trying to work on projects around the house.
Wow.
But yeah, also just running errands, going places, getting all that stuff done. So yeah, it's been an eventful weekend so far, I guess you could say.
That's good.
Yeah. So I guess, the bigger news is, what are we going to be talking about tonight? So, ladies and gentlemen, we enter episode 57, and we titled this one tonight called I Am Chummed Out. So,
a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, and I am. I'm a little chummed out, and we'll explain why, because the episode is pretty much a reference to being bummed out, but see, with Shark Week, we know it now, and we're just using that chum word to replace the bum word. And, yeah, I'm not going to lie, Jen. I mean, we've been talking about this all week, Shark Week. It's almost like a holiday week. Everybody anticipates it, you know. We're excited for it. New specials are coming on. Everybody dives right into the Discovery Channel. And I was just really bummed out with the lineup of specials this year. I was hoping there was going to be some more exciting ones there just for the delivery. But yeah, no, it just didn't do nothing for me this year, you know?
Yeah, like there was a few select ones that I wanted to see. But like, you know, like you said before when we were having our little discussion, like there's at least like a new Megalodon every year.
And that was really upsetting, is that like there was no specials, there was no shows, not even replay. I didn't see any replay on the Megalodon.
Yeah.
You know?
So there was no new Megalodon. Like this year they kind of like went heavy hitting with like the stars and, you know, like interacting with the sharks.
Yeah.
There was a bunch of different specials on that, but like to me that's just like, I don't know. It was like reality, you know, like I'm just, you know,
yeah.
We've seen Shaq, we've seen
Snoop Dogg.
Aaron Rodgers, Snoop Dogg. Yeah.
Yep. And Snoop Dogg actually had another special too. Yep.
Oh, Ronda Rousey. Yep. He did.
He had another one.
Okay.
And this year, I mean, you had JB Smooth, you had Brad Paisley, which I did like that special. That was pretty cool because I'm a country music fan. So, I mean, I did enjoy that, and that was just kind of, we'll get into that a little bit later, but, you know, just talking about some of the highlights of Shark Week. But I think the other thing that we need to talk about is that we have a combination here. We're going to do some Shark Week talk, and we're going to wrap up on
Loki. Yeah, because I screwed up, and I don't know why. I thought it was 8 episodes and not 6, so I was, disappointed.
Because initially when I read that, I thought there was going to be, like, they were talking about, like, 4 and 4, like, the split of 4 episodes, and then how they talked about Tom Holland highlighted that episode 4 and 5 was his favorites and stuff like that. Tom Hiddleston, sorry. Yeah. I said Tom Holland,
Spider-Man.
Right? Not Spider-Man, right? God almighty. No, yeah. I was just looking at an article on that before, too, where they want to try and, I guess it was posted by We Got This Covered. And it's just pretty much saying that they're really interested in getting Tom Holland to sign on for a trilogy now where they're going to, give him 3 movies. Kind of like what they did with Tobey Maguire in Spider-Man, and then they did that with Andrew Garfield, but he only made it to the second one.
Is it going to be Sony or MCU?
That's to be determined, because the article really doesn't highlight that, you know. It's just right now in the talks where they really want Tom Holland to really, you know, just go through a trilogy of movies, give him 3 movies.
Okay, because I don't want to start off with this.
No.
So I have something to say on that. So let me write that down. So
okay.
I remember to come back.
Yes. Let's circle the wagon on that one. Okay.
Okay. Yeah. Let's circle back on that. Okay.
Okay. So let's break it down. Let's start with Shark Week.
Okay. So let's talk about some of the stuff that we were disappointed in.
Okay.
So, like, to be quite honest with you, because we weren't really interested in a lot of programs, I didn't watch a shit ton of Shark Week this year, which, like, feels weird to me.
Yeah. Because
also, I feel like they did it really early this year.
I thought that, too, because I really thought it was more towards, like, isn't it usually, like, first week of August?
August, yeah.
Yeah. And so. that kind of caught me off guard, too, where it was like, wow, really pushing it for July? Wow.
Yeah, me too. So, like, the one program that I feel like I hate, they air, like, every which way version they could think of. Every single year there's a new one. And it's the mm-hmm. Air Jaws. I hate Air Jaws.
Yeah, they really like to emphasize on that. And I mean, when you talk about Air Jaws, what is that? It's like it's just they're like the emphasizing on the Great White, right?
Out of the water, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's when they like breach and they jump out of the water. Like, okay, cool. We've seen one, we've seen hundreds, you know what I mean?
Right, and they're pretty much all the same, you know?
Yeah. So, like, I hate Air Jaws, and that was on a bunch of times this year. Like, even, like, the past year's episodes were on.
Yeah, no, I get you. That's totally understandable, because I could kind of get that, I get that concept, too, where it's like, man, it just gets boring after a while, you know? You see so much of it, come on, do something different. But another one thing that I want to say is, like I said, go back to it. I mean, a big disappointment is nothing Megalodon, you know? Nothing yeah. about nothing about the big tooth, the big mop, you know, the big papa with the big mappa of sharks, you know?
Yes, I was really hoping that we were going to get the Meg too soon, but it's probably going to be next year.
Well, yeah, because they're talking about that. I mean, we've already been told there was going to be a second movie for that.
Yeah, but because of COVID, you know, right. that pushed everything back, well, so.
Like so many other projects, you know?
Yes.
But so I mean,
I'm for that one, I love Jason Statham.
Oh yeah, and I mean, and just some other disappointments. Just like you were saying, like, you know, it just seems like it's the same concepts, like the same shows. You get the Air Jaws, you get the alien sharks, you know. But I mean, okay. So the plus side was that I think out of the whole week, I think there was three specials that I actually liked.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. So the three that I'm going to emphasize, I did like the Brad Paisley special. That also featured J.B. Smoove. That was just pretty cool because they were kind of just showing how the sharks kind of reacted to different sounds, different vibrations. And it was kind of funny because it's like, my God, here's Brad Paisley. They're playing Brad Paisley music. The sharks are just loving it. They're just swarming around this speaker that has a low tone, like a low frequency that the sharks could really hear and not us so much. So it was like, wow, they're really enjoying the music of Brad Paisley. So that was pretty cool. Then J.B. Smoove kind of made it funny. You know, he's like, I'm going to bring a bicycle horn. I'm going to bring a pot and bang on it. You know, like he was just thinking of all these other different things. And it's like, no. You know, so it was kind of entertaining. The other one that I have to highlight that I enjoyed probably would go to the Jackass special.
Yeah, that one I did watch.
Yeah. And there were some new highlights. I mean, they had some new characters in their Jackass crew, obviously yes. younger, but they had some of the, obviously, some of the, you know, the bigger...
The returning veterans.
Returning ones, yep. And that was actually kind of shocking because something went wrong in one of their stunts there. I don't know if you caught that.
I did. Yeah, he got bit. So, like, yep. For those of you that didn't watch the special, it was Johnny Knoxville, who pretty much, like, helmed the episode, like, from home on Zoom. So they must have shot this, you know, during COVID at some point. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, you have returning veterans Chris Pontius and Steve-O.
Yep.
So the two newcomers, which I think, like, I'm not sure if they're, like, TikTokers or, like, YouTubers or, like, internet stars or something, but the one guy's name is Jasper, and the other guy's name was Poopies.
Poopy, yeah.
Poopies, yeah. So, like, I don't know. I just feel like, what can you, you know, like, what's possibly going to go wrong in Jackass with sharks?
Well, you know, a whole lot, because I mean, if you go back to like classic Jackass, where you had some of the Wild Boy stunts where it was like, okay, they put like raw chicken in their underwear where the, you know, the crocodile or alligator would bite onto it, you know, and take it out of their undies.
Yes.
Or you had Chris Pontius dressed up like a Playboy bunny jumping into the water to save Steve-O at times, you
yeah,
know?
And that was actually like the promo. He's wearing the rabbit ears.
The rabbit ears, yep.
Mm-hmm, yep. So, like, Knoxville finds, like, popular videos, like, shark videos from the internet, and sends the lads off to recreate the stunts. So, first you had Chris Pontius, and he goes first, and he was wearing, like, a matador outfit to try and, like, you know, like, do, like, the running of the bulls, but with bull sharks.
Yeah, clever.
Yep, so, like, it was literally, like, you know, the, I don't want to call him, like, the trainer, but he was like, guys, this is how you have to act around sharks, and they did, like, the complete opposite. So, after Pontius, I think it was Jasper, and they were trying to gauge, like, the force of the shark bite. So, yeah. They had him sitting in an inner tube in the ocean with, like, the scale, like, the weight scale. And there was, like, a fish next to him, like, a dead fish that the shark was going to come up and, like, bite.
Yep.
So, like, to me, that's just, like, cruising for a bruising right there, man.
Yeah, I think that would be, like, you know, in my, because, like, watching it, like, I'm thinking to myself, this is, like, the last type of skit that I would think the Jackass people would come up with is playing with sharks. Yeah. You know, and don't get me wrong, I mean, they've played enough, they've done enough skits in the past where they've included animals, and there was no harm to any animals, so let's just kind of keep that in mind, too, here, because, you know, that's important to kind of state. So there was no harm to any sharks. There was no harm to any animals during the filming or making of this this special from Discovery. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, you could only do so much with it. And like I said, going to that last part that I want to highlight, I think it was Poopy that or Poopies that got bit. You know?
Yeah, because like he was on like the inner tube and he went off like one of like the jump ramps.
Well, it totally
and,
went
like,
wrong.
Cannonballed right? into like the middle of like a shark feeding frenzy. Yeah. Yep.
And they even say, you know, like something
don't
like that could
do that.
Right. That could have gone even it could have even
way
gotten
worse. Yeah.
Because of the
just
vibration,
like,
you know,
on his arm there. Yeah.
Yep. So, I mean, glad that something didn't happen more extreme. I mean, a shark bite is extreme, but something could have definitely happened much, much worse than Category.
Yeah, but like, you know what? Like, it was severely lacking Bam. Like, I missed Bam.
Yeah, like when you don't see like certain characters that you kind of fall in love with in the Jackass crew and you want them to bring that back. Yeah, Bam is one of them, totally, 100%. You know, he was for there right from the get-go.
And like I feel really bad because I don't know if our listeners know about like the drama that was going and still is going on with like Jackass 4. So Jackass 4 is coming out, which is probably why, you know, they did a Shark Week special so they could start promoting the film. But Bam is not going to be in the film, and they had like restraining orders put like against him because
of the threats.
Yeah, so like because he really wanted to come back and he was like really passionate about it, but like you know, the studio just didn't want to work with him because like obviously like there were like drugs and alcohol involved in like the previous film, but like Bam couldn't stay clean for Jackass 3, so they just didn't want him to come back for Jackass 4 and, like, to deal with any of that, even though he's been, like, clean and sober and, like, has a real family and stuff now for a while, so.
And, you know, listen, sobriety.
I feel for him. Like, I feel bad.
The battle of sobriety is, I'll tell you what, that is a huge battle that somebody would undertake because, I mean, it's not an easy obstacle to overcome, especially because I mean I don't know the situations. I don't know how,
like, of course you only see what the media portrays,
right? And you know what, like when you read all these mixed because you've seen so many posts on Twitter and Facebook where a lot of people are really supporting Bam, where you should be in it, you know, this is bullshit, you know Bam was one of the originals, why, you know, not having him in there just doesn't even make it feel like a Jackass. And then there's people saying I won't watch it at all because this person's not included.
Yeah, I'm not sure if I'm going to watch it. I don't know. I haven't decided yet.
I kind of feel that way. I mean, I'm kind of there with them, but at the same time, though, I mean, you know, if it was me and if I knew somebody, a friend like that, and you want to see somebody get better and just obviously do better for not just for themselves, but for their health just in general, you know, like, I mean, I could see that because Steve-O even came out with a big statement of support towards Bam, and that's all they want to do
forever too.
And, you know, I think Steve-O really does kind of, you know, maybe he could be an influence. Maybe his story, you know, could be an eye-opener to Bam. And I think that's kind of what they were trying to realize here, you know, talking to Bam and maybe having conversations with him. If Steve-O was able to do it, listen, dude, you could do it too.
Yeah,
you know?
But then also, like, maybe they just didn't want him to, like, fall back into, like, old and bad habits, which is why they don't want him to come back. I don't know, though, because, like,
you never know.
He's not really saying how, like, his relationships are with, like, Knoxville, Steve-O, and Pontius, so...
Right.
I don't really know. So it just makes me sad.
It does. It does. I totally agree with you 100% on that one. But yeah, other than the Jackass special, the only other one that I really thought was kind of interesting, but I mean, I'll say this. I kind of gave it a 6 out of 10. And that's a respectful 6 out of 10. I'm talking about the Sharknado documentary where they had Tara Reid. And
that.
But you know, I kind of feel, Ian, what's his name? Ian Ziegler or something like that. And, you know, I thought it was okay. I thought it was good. But it was bland in moments. That was the only problem, where it was just kind of like, you know, I get that they're trying to be comical because they're having fun with the Sharknado movie. And, you know, they're
trying to keep the legend alive.
Right. You know, and unfortunately, I think we're done with Sharknado. I don't think there will ever be another Sharknado movie unless...
No, I think there's 6 of them, I think, if I'm not...
Yeah, and I think that's mistaken. Enough Sharknado to go around, you know?
Yeah, because there was like... What? There was like Sharknado 1, 2, 3, and then didn't they do like the 4th Awakens because it was like the Force Awakens?
Yep.
Yeah, I remember 5 was like around the world, and then 6 was like time
global
travel.
Global swarming,
yeah.
Yeah. Sharknado, it was just, the first one was just mentioned, it was just titled Sharknado. Sharknado 2 was the second one, I think it was just called. The
second one? Okay.
Yeah. Then Sharknado 3 was, oh, hell no. Sharknado 4, like you said, The Fourth Awakens. 5 was Global Swarming, and then the last Sharknado was It's About Time. And I remember, didn't they have, like, for the 5th Sharknado, wasn't it, like, Make America Bait Again? Or something like that. Wasn't there some kind of like shit? Like, yeah. Wasn't there that cheesy like that tweet line going around for the movie because it was right around, you
like
know,
an election time.
Yeah, election area. Yeah. So. Wow. Yeah. So those were the lineups, and you're right. There were 6 movies. You know.
Yes.
And that was produced by The Asylum. Everybody knows The Asylum is a sci-fi production company. You know.
Yep, I love all those, like, stupid movies, like Mega Shark.
Even though, I mean, we're on topic of it, but would you want to see another Sharknado movie?
Listen, it's, and I hate to use this analogy, but it's like a train wreck and you can't look away.
Okay, all right, that's fair enough. That's a good response, actually.
Yeah, like, so if they're like, oh, guys, a new Sharknado is coming next week, am I going to watch it? Yeah.
Oh, sure.
For sure.
That's funny.
I would definitely watch another one.
That's like a cup of tea for you because like you like any of those movies with like
the
animals.
Any of the stupid animal movies. Like I've said this 900 times on the podcast, but because Matt hates it so much.
Don't
like Anaconda. Anaconda.
Such a horrible fucking movie.
And it's so funny because like I'll be like bored and like I'll put something on in the background. I'm just like, you know what? I'm gonna put Anaconda on and send a picture to Matt just to piss him off.
Yeah, I was just gonna say you have to tell people like you send the text message picture. And it's like, just to piss Matt off.
Anaconda.
Yep, Jenna's the one that'll go for Lake Placid, Piranaconda, Lava Sharks, Eight-Legged Freaks.
That's spiders, though, man. So, like, I'm really not a fan of the Eight-Legged Freaks.
I did like that movie. That was the one with David Arquette, remember?
It was, yes.
And it had Scarlett Johansson in it, too.
Yeah, I think it was supposed to be, like, funny. But...
It was. It was comical, but, you know, science fiction, thriller, yeah. I mean, listen, the case is closed here. I mean, there were some other specials out there on Shark Week. There was a Dr. Pimple Popper special. I did catch that one. That was kind of cool because it was just kind of acknowledging, you know, with Dr. Pimple Popper. I don't know her real name, but I'm just calling her Doc. And, you know, she goes and she's with a crew of researchers. She makes an incision on a shark to put a tracker in, you know, and she's obviously elaborating like how, you know, that was such a great experience because, you know, her obviously working in dermatology and skin, she was really emphasizing like how it felt to actually work with the shark, how to make the incision, you know, and she was going into detail describing how their skin felt and everything like that, how it was layered. I don't know. I thought that was pretty cool too, you know?
Yeah.
But that's really all I caught. But, I mean, yeah, like you said, there was really no oomph. There was no, like, ah, yeah, cool. You know, like, nothing. And, like, it didn't do it that much for me this year. I feel like Shark Week, you know, I'm really hoping that there's a better one next year. Please, you know, you disappointed me. I'm all chummed out.
Yeah, it was definitely, like, a bummer this year, especially because I didn't get a chance to, like, watch as much that I you know, plan on. There was one, which I'll probably, that's a good thing, though. Well, there is one more, though. So, it's Crikey, it's Shark Week with Robert Irwin. So, like, he comes face-to-face.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, he comes face-to-face with, like, a great white shark for the first time. So, like, I think I'll probably, like, on-demand that one.
I'm pretty sure that had all the Irwins in it, because I thought I saw a preview where Terry was there, and Terry's...
the mother.
Yeah, she's the mother. She's Steve Irwin's wife. And I want to say, I think even in the trailer, I thought I saw Bindi there, too.
Okay, and her husband and their baby?
I don't know if the baby was there, but I think Bindi was on... I think there was a thing where she was there with her mother on the boat. They were in wetsuits. So maybe they did something with... maybe they did something with the special, I don't know. We'd have to look into it. But yeah, I forgot about that one.
Yeah, so I'll probably on-demand that one, because it looks good. Like, and I really like Robert Irwin. Like, whenever he's on... Like, did you ever catch the videos when he's on with, like, Jimmy Fallon and he brings the animals?
Yeah. Kind of reminds me of, like, those... the Jeff Corwin days or something like that, you know?
Yeah, well, like, you know, that's what his father did. Education, you know? So...
Yeah. And, you know, that's... It's cool that that family is still preserving wildlife, preserving the study, the research... You know, the sanctuary of animals and stuff.
Australia Zoo.
Yep. I would love to go there one day. I want to in the worst way.
Me too, but Australia is like the land of nope, man. They've got so many scary things on that massive rock island there.
It is the most dangerous when it comes to wildlife. Because, I mean, think about it. Plant life, a lot of poisonous plants.
Yeah.
Insects alone, holy God.
Like, the huntsman spiders, like, I have nightmares, like... About them. They're huge.
God, stop. Yeah.
That's literally like one of the things that like keeps me from going, because I'm afraid of those monsters.
Oh God, I'm looking at a picture of this bastard right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's... I'm gonna X that out.
There you go.
back to the Twitter board.
Yeah. There was like an article on BuzzFeed once, and like I asked Lauren, because I like my Lauren, every time... We talk about Australia, like, there was a BuzzFeed article, and it was called The Land of Nope, and, like, it essentially just, like, listed all of these, like, scary things that, like, Australia has, and, like, they have, like, a spider season, where the spiders just go and, like, web everything, and, like, you'll, like, see it in, like, the farmlands and stuff, and everything's just, like, covered
Why?
With webs, and it's so scary.
Ooh. Why do you gotta do that to me?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
No, like, and Jenna knows this, like, for how many years she's known me, she knows that I'm a big person over here that has arachnophobia, you know? Like, I hate spiders.
Yeah,
my wife has to kill spiders.
Oh, does she? Okay, see, I can do it.
Yeah,
but...
You think I'm fucking doing it?
Oh, I found the article, Matt. I'm going to send it to you.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Ugh, you know what?
The snakes and the spiders and...
No, we're going to call this episode...
The frogs.
We're going to call this episode the Garlic Jar Podcast Show. Oh, hell no.
There you go. The Land of Nope.
Yeah, you know, that. Let's kind of keep that. Maybe somewhere down the road, maybe some Australian pop culture, maybe something going on with the Irwins, maybe something going on with wildlife. Maybe we could use that title someday.
Yeah. Like, I would definitely go at some point. I just don't know if I would make it to the Outback, because that would be scurry.
Well, I'll keep in mind, if I book a trip, I'm going to book a trip that's not infiltrated by the seasoned power of spiders.
Okay.
So. Yeah,
like, I would really like to see their bats. Like, did you ever see the bats?
Oh, my God. The winged foxes?
They're huge. Yeah. They're, like, flying puppies. I would like to see one.
They're about half the size of me. Mm-hmm. Like, from my head down to my torso, that's probably how big the bat is.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they literally look like dogs with wings.
Yeah, I would like to see them.
Like, if I put a big attachment of bat wings on my Olive, she would definitely blend in as a winged fox.
Yeah, probably.
I'll send you a picture, and I want you to kind of look at that and say, tell me what you think. Could you envision the fox, the wings?
All right.
But yeah, no, can we just wrap up? Can we just kind of say that, listen, Shark Week, it didn't do much for us.
It was a bust. Yeah.
It was a bum. Yeah, it was a bum, bum, bum.
Bum,
you know?
Bum, yeah. Bum,
so, yeah. I see what you just did there. That's a good one. That's a good one.
Thank you.
And you know what? That's kind of funny. You know, for that being a big blockbuster, and for them playing the hell out of that during the summer, I really didn't see much of Jaws on TV yet. Maybe because they don't play that more until August, you know?
Probably. It's usually, like, after the 4th they start playing it.
Okay, all right. Because,
like, it's set for, like, the 4th of July weekend in the film, so...
Well, right, because remember they said, oh, well, we...
Can't close the beaches for the 4th, yeah.
You have that bastard mayor. Well, listen, you know, we can't close the beaches here, you know? This is the 4th of July weekend, Sheriff. Well, go fuck yourself.
Yeah, seriously.
Well, there's a shark in that water. And just remember, and it was kind of funny because, like, he's telling in that movie, like, listen, you know, you either deal with this now or you're literally letting all those people go in there like it's a lunch buffet line. You know, there's something bad's going to happen.
Yes.
And by the way, I apologize for my little impression there of the mayor. If somebody feels offended by it that I didn't do justice enough, I'm just trying. It's the midnight hours now. You know, we're just trying to get through all this. So.
Yes, the only thing we're missing there is you got to sing the farewell and adieu song.
Oh yeah.
Go ahead.
No, not me.
No.
No, that's all you.
No, you did it. You did no. it on the last on our Jaws know, episode.
I promise I'll catch you on the tail end of the episode. Got that?
All right.
See what I just did there? Tail end shark. Okay. Yeah,
we're gonna circle back to that.
Not gonna lie, I'm feeling pretty good over here because I got a nimble giant in my glass. You know, and anybody knows what that is? That's a Trogs beer. So.
Okay.
It's a pretty high elf. Actually, I think you would like this one, Jen.
Do you know what? The last time I had Trokes was The King in the North for my birthday before COVID.
Oh,
and do
yeah.
Do you remember I wanted another one? And you're like,
I wouldn't do that. Yeah, because Leegee was there with us, too. Yeah. We were at O-Town when we had it, remember?
We were. It's our place.
Yeah, I was like, yeah, I wouldn't go after a second glass of that one. I'd go to a Miller Lite.
when we were leaving.
Yeah, well, this one, because the King of the North, I think, was a little bit more higher than the one I have volume. This is 9%, so I'm drinking it slow. I'm not going to make another stint like I did last year with Shark Week. I want to stay afloat this year. I want to be a good boy. And I've been doing really good with my booze and my working out, my dieting. Everything's been going really good over the past 4 weeks.
Good.
So, and I have a lot of people to thank for that. I have you to thank. I have my parents to thank, my wife to thank, friends to thank. So, yeah, I mean, it's good. And, you know, I'm just going to keep doing what I'm doing. So.
Good. Everybody's supporting you, friends. So, it takes a village. It really does. So.
It does. And it's not like I had, you know, now there's no problem or issue here. But, you know, you just want to kind of cut things down, you know. And most importantly, like, I just want to feel a little bit more energetic. I want to get things done. I want to really, like I said, over the pandemic, I just feel like I put on so much, I gotta drop it, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Yippers.
But, yeah, no, that's what I got. I got sunflower seeds in my snack bowl, and I got Nimble Giant in my mason jar.
Nice.
So. What are you drinking? What are you having?
Iced tea. The only thing I ever drink. Iced tea and water.
But what kind of iced tea? Because that matters.
It's...
Pure leaf?
It's pure leaf. I like the black tea. This one is like the cold pressed or cold brewed lemon. It's my favorite. And then I like take like lemon juice and I squeeze extra in there.
So it's unsweetened. You use the lemon juice to sweeten it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good.
Mm-hmm.
Unsweetened's the way to go. I love unsweetened tea.
Yeah, like I can't drink the sweet stuff because it just makes me like extra thirsty, like,
yeah, it's kind of like eating
sorry
pretzels
to our southern friends, but
yeah,
sweet tea is not for me.
Bummer.
That's like a dead giveaway. Like if you ever go to the south and you're in a restaurant and you're like, oh, can I have an iced tea, and she's like, a sweet tea, and you're like,
you
no,
mean a sweet tea?
Unsweetened, please. That's like a dead giveaway. You're from, you know, the northern states.
Yeah, and they probably turn around and they're like, you damn Yankee.
Yeah, probably.
No, but it's all good. It's all good. It's all good.
Yes.
Well, you know, I mean, I think we're coming up to the halfway mark here, Jen. Do you want to, I mean, do you have anything else to add on Shark Week? Is there anything?
No.
I think we covered all the
yeah, we
boat,
did. We covered
the water
the importance.
Here. Okay. Well, let's get this boat steered in the other direction. I think we could take a break. I think if we have to refill the glass, refill the snack bowl, go to the bathroom, I think that's the opportunity we take right now.
Yeah, that sounds fair. So stick with us, guys, and we'll be right back. Alright, guys. Welcome back to the back half of our episode. Thanks for hanging in there with us. And now, I feel like we're getting into one of my most favorite topics.
Well, it seems like now for the past... Oh, man. Well... 6 weeks, really. We have been entertained for a great 6 weeks of six episodes, because I know exactly where you're going with this.
Yes, so we're going to finish the final two episodes of Loki.
Yep.
Which, like, I really like this series. And, like, I really like, before we get into, like, the who's it's and what's it's,
mm-hmm.
I really like the way that this is going to impact the future of the MCU. So, like, to circle back to what you were saying.
Okay.
About, like, how, like, they were telling, like, Tom Holland they want to do, like, a three-contract movie. So, like, if you remember, in the years past, usually, like, with Marvel, you'd sign, like, a gigantic contract.
Oh, absolutely.
Of, like, a million movies, and it's going to be X number of years, and typically you really can't, you know, fill in the gaps with that much extra yep. stuff. And then, like, you know, like, renegotiating contracts and stuff. And, like, a lot of our, you know, OG cast members have, like, said that they're, like, done with the MCU.
Oh, yeah.
But, like, so, like, going forward, because it's now, you know, under Disney's umbrella, they don't want to do, like, large multiple film contracts anymore. So, which I just learned the other day. Did you know that Emma Watson was originally the first pick for to be Wanda?
You know what? That doesn't actually shock me, because I could actually see her in that role.
Yeah, so, like, she did, you know, like, Disney, you know, she did huge, she made lots of money for the Beauty and the Beast.
Right.
And one of the reasons why she wasn't considered is because apparently, like, her agents and everybody knows that she didn't want to sign on for, like, you know, like, the big Marvel, like, contracts and stuff. So
do you think that has any influence in going back to, like, how she's been working in the past years, like, with the Harry Potter movies with Warner Brothers?
Yeah. So, like, okay. I hate to say it, but, like, I feel like you probably get burnt out. Like, I know that, like,
makes sense.
You know, like, Chris Evans. No, not Chris Evans. Chris
Robert
Pratt,
Downey.
Chris Pratt. He was doing, well, Robert Downey, too. So,
yeah.
So, like, they were able to do, like, other franchises, other movies, like, in between, which was, like, great. And then, like, you know, like, Chris Pratt, he's a part of, you know, like, Jurassic World. And then, you know, we just saw the Tomorrow War on Amazon, which they were able to do. So, like,
fantastic movie, by the way.
Yeah, it was really good. And I think they're greenlighting a second one.
Ooh.
Because it did so well on the opening weekend. So thanks to everybody that tuned in and watched that one for us.
Yeah.
So, like, I know that the long contracts are, like, a thing of the past. So with, you know, the multiverse going forward as it is, I feel like it's going to be a lot easier to, like, replace actors if they no longer want to continue with their characters. Like, prime example, Dave Bautista in Drax.
Yeah.
I think after the final, you know, the third Guardians of the Galaxy, I think he's tapping out.
Really?
Yeah. So, well, because, like, he's, you know, he's been a controversial player on the social media, and, like, I just feel like it's not part of, like, Disney's image.
Okay.
And, like, also, like, you know, like, we see him, like, branching out to, like, other films.
I got
and,
you.
Like, you have to remember, like, he sits in makeup for, like, 8 hours before he even walks on set.
Right, right.
So, like, God love him, you know? And, like, I feel like going through, you know, that makeup and stuff every day, it's probably, like, a little taxing, you know? And you're probably, like, tired and whatever. Like, yes, I know they make lots of money on the films and everything, but still, like, your well-being comes first, you know? So, like, say yeah. Dave Bautista's done, but they want to continue on with, like, Drax and, like, the Guardians of the Galaxy. Well, now you can slap another actor in there and just be like, oh, he's a variant. He's from this multiverse.
Right, right.
You know, so, like, I think that, you know, going forward, this is going to be, like, a game changer for the MCU, especially, like, with, you know, the contracts for the actors.
Okay, that's actually a really good point to bring up.
Yeah, so, like, I don't know, I think it's really going to work out. So, like, if we backtrack now to what actually changed the MCU forever,
I'm going to let you take this because you're doing a good job with it so far, so keep going.
All right, well let's rewind to episode 5.
Yeah, I was going to say that'd probably be the best part to pick right back up with, cuz we respectfully for the fans here, we did talk about the 4th. We did give our elaborations on it. Yes. So, let's pick up there and then move forward.
All right. So, number 5, this was like a fantastic episode for me because I liked seeing all of the Easter eggs in like the void.
And that was a big thing that they picked, like a lot of article review, I hate to say article review because like when you think of that, it's like, oh man, do I feel like I'm in school again reading article reviews? No, we're just talking about like articles out there online. You know, they're written, they're pointing out these important parts in the episode, but yeah, how many of them have referenced and gone back to the numerous line of Easter eggs?
Yes, like lots of things that have been like, you know, planted and in the void. So like, you know, like there was, at the top of my head, we saw the Thanos copter. We saw a fallen Dark Aster, which
probably
is
one of the cheesiest comics, by the way. If anybody knows the Thanos copter.
The Thanos copter, yeah.
Cheesy-ass comic.
I think that's why they put it in there, is to, like, you know, give a little nudge.
It's cheesy, but it's memorable, you know?
What am I trying to say? There was the Dark Aster.
Yep.
From Guardians of the Galaxy. There was a crashed helicarrier from, like, S.H.I.E.L.D. and everything. There was the yellow jacket? The helmet?
Yep. Yellow jacket's helmet.
The helmet. The Kang Industries.
Yeah.
That was plastered. Like, remember how we said that, like, the Avengers Tower?
Well, yeah, it
once closer, it was not our Avengers Tower.
Yeah, it was started with a Q. I'm trying to think of the name of it. Because it wasn't Kang.
It's like, I think it is Kang because it's Q, isn't it Q-U-E-N-G, Kang Enterprises?
Something like that. Isn't that how you say it?
Because that was like Kang the Conqueror's business when he was trying to like blend in on Earth and Tony sells him the Avengers Tower.
Yeah.
And Stark Enterprises in that one comic series.
It was like Q-E-N-G, which really, I mean, you could probably, that's pretty close to Kang, you know? Yeah, like you just said.
Okay, like if I'm Kang. Wrong, I'm sorry, I could be butchering it.
Yeah.
But, so that was, you know, like, and I really, when we were talking about the earlier episodes, like, I really didn't want to put, like, my foot in my mouth like we did with WandaVision, where it's like, oh, this is coming, and then it's like, you know, like, it just completely blows up in your face, which, you know, we've had happen more than once on this show.
Yeah.
But I really, really liked how we got to see all of the different Loki variants from the comics.
Absolutely. Yep.
So you got to see, like, and like, you know, like one of my favorite moments of the episode is when Alligator Loki, or is Crocodile Loki, I think he's a croc, isn't he?
Yep.
Yeah. So when Crocodile Loki bites off President Loki's hand, that was hilarious.
That was funny.
Oh my gosh. So I loved that. And then I also liked
Boastful Loki's left behind in that treacherous mess of variants fighting, you know?
Yes. So then classic Loki, kid Loki, and crocodile Loki sneak our Loki away.
Yep.
So he can try and, you know, figure out what he's going to do and try to get back to Sylvie. So then we see Sylvie appears in the void after she's fighting with, what was her name? She's like the judge lady.
The judge.
Yeah.
I just call her the judge.
Okay. When she was fighting with that lady and then she prones herself. Which? There's a theory on. So, do you remember when they showed us the box of the paperweight time the paperweights of the
Infinity Stones. Mm-hmm.
So, did you notice there was one stone color that was missing?
Yes. That I picked up on, but I wouldn't have picked up on that until I read the articles.
So, right. So I read the article, and the Mind Stone, which is the yellow, was missing in that box. And then somebody pointed out, did you notice what color the sticks are? When they light up to prone somebody, they're yellow.
They're yellow.
So people think that, you know, because now we know that, like, you're just a variant and they, like, reset your mind to not remember. I think they're using Infinity Stones.
They could be.
Isn't that nuts?
I mean, yeah, because, I mean, here we are thinking, like, they were put back. Nobody's going to get them.
Yeah, they're just disappeared, gone. So.
Could the Infinity Stones come back?
I don't know. Because, like, the yellow ones do work in this, like, timescape here.
Yeah, this reality, this whatever you want to call it, an alternative reality or something. Yeah. But so I mean, no, go ahead.
I was going to say, so then we see Sylvie show up, and Eliath, the, like, dark puppy cloud monster, is going to eat her. And then all you see is this, like, cute little car driving up, and it's freaking Mobius.
Yeah.
It's Mobius.
Yep.
So he saves Sylvie, and he's like, yeah, you shouldn't take rides from strangers.
Yeah.
Such, like, an Owen Wilson thing to say. But, like, one of my favorite things is, like, when Loki's going down in the beginning to, like, their, like, hideout with the other Lokis. Did you happen to catch the Throg? Which is the Frog Thor?
Yep.
Everybody was wondering if that was, like, reused audio from Age of Ultron, but it's not. He recorded that, like, fresh.
Well, it's kind of funny, because he was in that jar, and actually, that little label that was on the jar was referenced to the comic issue that he was in.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, what was right next to the jar was Mjolnir, right? Yep.
Mjolnir.
Yep. So I thought that was pretty funny, too.
Yes, I thought that was probably the funniest. And then the Thanos copter.
Yep.
And then, of course, when Loki gets his hand eaten by the crocodile.
Did you notice the Pizza Planet?
No.
Easter egg that they had in the episode, too? No. It was the wagon with the rocket ship on top, bouncing back and forth?
No.
Yeah, there was a Pizza Planet.
Pizza Planet, all right.
It didn't say Pizza Planet, but it was referenced to Pixar's Toy Story with Pizza Planet.
Yep. The rocket. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. So then we see Sylvie and Loki, which, like, this was huge for me, because remember how we've been talking about how Loki doesn't have the mind control enchanting power?
Yep.
And, like, Sylvie essentially, like, helped him, like, bring it out, and, like, classic Loki's sacrifice was crazy, because he kind of pulled, like, a Wanda, if you will, when he, like, created Asgard in the void so he could, like, you know, like, distract Eliath so, like, Loki and Sylvie could get their shit together. I was, like, super impressed with that. And, like, just because, like, that was heartbreaking for him to, like, you know, revitalize his, like, homeland just to have it, like, destroyed again, which, like, you know, it's gutting. It's gutting a little bit.
Yeah, to bring Asgard back into the picture, you know?
Yes. So, like, I thought that was fantastic because, you know, like, now that Loki has his enchanting power, like, I'm gonna, like, throw him and Sylvie, like, all of the Lokis, like, probably on the same level as, like, Wanda, Doctor Strange, Agatha, like, with the magic.
Right.
Because, like, we've been saying that all along, like, you know, like, the different colors of magic, and, like, you know, Sylvie's is definitely more advanced than Loki's, but he's learning, you know, like, he's not out. We can't count him out yet.
No, you're right. You're 100% right.
So, I thought this was a great episode, because then, once they enchant Eliath, like, you know, like, they officially, you know, get him under control, we see that massive castle in the distance.
Castle Limbo.
And that's how the episode closes. And you're left thinking, oh, who are we going to see in that castle?
Yep.
So then if we move along to episode 6. So episode 6 has changed the MCU for the rest of our lives. And what essentially happens is that Loki and Sylvie come face to face with He Who Remains.
Right. We don't know who he really is, because you can't really say he's Kang, you know?
You can.
Well, you can, but he never referenced himself as that name yet, you know?
Well, he said, all right, so when he was walking around the desk to go and sit behind the chair,
yeah,
he said the words, because he knows that there are other universes. So he was saying, like, all of the things that he's been in his lives, and one of them was a conqueror. Okay. So, Kang the Conqueror.
Yeah.
And then also, after this, spoilers, Kang and the actor that plays him has also signed on for Ant-Man Quantumania. So we can 100% safely say that Kang the Conqueror has arrived in the MCU.
Well, right, because, I mean, we already know that that's the given character in the Ant-Man movie.
Yes. So, yeah. this Kang that we had before Sylvie stupidly killed him, because Loki was 100% right. Like, when they were fighting, and he was trying to stop her, and then, like, he, like, popped up right in front of her and was like, this is a mistake because something bigger and worse is coming. Like, finally, like, use that beautiful brain of yours, you know what I mean?
Right. So, like, Loki, think about this before doing.
Yes. You know? So Loki finally had that, like, aha moment, saying that if we kill this dude, like, yeah, I know the TVA sucks and we don't like it, but something worse could happen. Well,
correct.
She kills him anyways. So yep. The Kang, the kind Kang that we had, apparently is a thing of the past. And then we see, you know, on the monitors and, like, right there in the mansion that the timeline just goes
ape
wackadoo.
Shit.
Yeah.
Yep.
So we've got branches upon branches upon branches. Nobody can do anything about it. So Loki gets back to the TVA and he tries to go and find Mobius. And then all of a sudden, Mobius doesn't know who he is.
Yep.
So then it pans to the left, and where the statues of the timekeepers used to be is a statue of none other than Kang the Conqueror.
Yeah.
So my prediction, which I'm going to go out on a limb here and just give you my prediction.
Go
I think
for it.
That Kang has arrived and he has erased, like, the memory of, like, the people that were on his trails, except for, like, Loki and Sylvie. Because to our knowledge, Sylvie is still in the mansion, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's technically, yeah, I mean, we're still calling that the Void, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, think. I said from that episode, that was the worst thing that could have happened, because her actions now are going to speak louder in much more bigger events to come now for the MCU.
Yeah, for sure. So, like, and basically, I feel like it's going to be good and bad.
Yeah, well, I definitely think that plays up to, you know, a lot that could be going on in the Doctor Strange movie.
Yes.
You know, what we're going to encounter there. I mean,
we may not
see the full cycle of it, but we're going to see a significant part of it, you know? And don't be surprised. Maybe there'll be a mention. Maybe there'll be a drop of Kang the Conqueror somewhere in that.
Oh,
you know?
I would think there would have to be, wouldn't there?
I would think. That's not, yeah, because I'm just trying
Doctor
to put the pieces
Strange,
together.
Excuse me if my timeline's not correct here, but doesn't Doctor Strange set up Ant-Man? Isn't it supposed to?
Well, the story is, I mean, I know Kang the Conqueror was, there is the Ant-Man part where he's been in Ant-Man comics. But Doctor Strange has also had appearances, too, in comic books where he has fought in Kang the Conqueror.
No, I know, but I'm just saying, like, for, like, you know, like, the order of the movies to come out, isn't it?
Well, yeah,
it's the Eternals, Spider-Man, then Doctor Strange, then Ant-Man, right?
I don't know. Is Spider-Man coming out this year?
Yeah, I think it's Christmas.
Is it? Okay. Yeah. See, I couldn't remember that. I didn't know if it was pushed because of COVID and everything like that. I didn't know if it got moved into 2022. But yeah, no, if we go into the timeline with these movies, yeah, we definitely have the Eternals, which I think are going to play a big part now because they're going to step in. And yeah, I mean, the next part would be, like you said, if it is Spider-Man in December, okay, great. Maybe we'll see something there. But yeah,
I think it's supposed to come out, like, right before Christmas, like a few days before Christmas.
Yeah, I think the bigger movie that's going to speak volume is in March with Doctor Strange. Yes. The multiverse of madness.
So, like, my thing is because remember, I wonder what the Eternals is going to face now then. Because remember when I was like, well, why didn't they step in? You know, I was a little snot. And I was
because they don't step in with human affairs.
Right. With Thanos, though. But that was literally the entire universe. That wasn't just Earth, right. You know?
Yep.
So I was like, what is coming that's going to make, you know, them the Eternals get out of their, like, yep. step in. So I wonder if we're going to see the timeline go berserk in the Eternals. And that's why they're
maybe that's yeah
coming to their aid.
Could be.
So are we going to see Kang there too?
Well, you know, the other thing too is there's speculation that we may even get a drop of Galactus in the Eternals. Devourer of Worlds.
Okay, well.
And, I mean, that's already been brought up in many conversations where, okay, Thanos is dead. All right, that was your big villain of, you know, the Infinity War and Endgame, and really the next big villain, because I wouldn't put Kang on the list. Kang is, to me, I mean, he's kind of subcategorial underneath Galactus, because Galactus is big. I mean, this is going to take a lot to stop. This is another Thanos, but more, I think, you know, Galactus makes Thanos look like Santa Claus, if that makes sense.
Okay.
So that's I'm just kind of dropping that reference because, I mean, you're looking at it's. I'll use our Shark Week reference here too. There's always a bigger fish, you know.
Yes.
And this big fish that's coming up, I really think, yeah, Galactus is gonna get a big push in these movies.
Because, like, I remember that when we talked about the Eternals trailer, we said that Crow, who was like the Deviants leader, he was gonna be the bad guy, but I wonder. If there's going to be, like, I feel like there has to be some sort of connection into the multiverse, doesn't there?
Has to be. I would think so.
So then my next question is are we going to see a multiverse in Spider-Man?
It's quite possible.
Because everybody says that, like.
They're speculating. They're already confirming. Right. They're already confirming that.
They're saying that they're coming back, but then Tom Holland has said no.
That I don't they know were about not that, in the Jen.
Movie. Yeah, I don't either. So, like, because, like, you know how bad Tom Holland is with spoilers.
I was like, just going to say, I mean, him saying that is like, yeah, it's happening because you pretty much ruined a lot of things in the past.
Yeah, so, like, you know, like, especially when he was shooting, like, Avengers Endgame. Like,
yeah, remember he leaked things on his Twitter?
Well, they wouldn't give him the script. So, like, somebody was like, well, why does he always look like he doesn't know what's going on? It's because he was only given his lines and nothing else part of the movie.
I got that.
So, whereas, like, you know, like, Robert Downey Jr., Chris Hemsworth, like, everybody was given, like, the full script, and Tom Holland was given only his lines.
It's like, oh, so, man, why does he get more and I get less?
Yeah, so.
It's such a kid thing, well, you know?
Then, you know, like, Mark Ruffalo goes and, like,
live
streams Facebook did it too. For the Ragnarok, the first, like, 15 minutes of Ragnarok.
Yeah, like, oops.
Yeah. So, like, I don't know, like, because if we remember where Spider-Man Far From Home left off. Yeah. That was like,
well,
Gyllenhaal leaking that Tom Holland, like, you know, Peter Parker is Spider-Man.
It was Spider-Man. Yeah, because remember in that scene where Joan Jameson comes up on the big screen there of the Daily Bugle, which is by, that's J.K. Simmons. And by the way, going back into that.
He was
in
the Tomorrow War.
He was. And, yo, he got super jacked for that role.
He was like prison muscles, man. That's what everybody was saying.
Like, wow.
Yeah.
And here's another thing, too. J.K. Simmons is actually bringing Joan Jameson into Venom 2. He's going to be playing.
Oh, that's smart.
Yeah. And I love that because that was a hell of a That was a hell of a role for him to play.
Yeah, you know? I agree. Like, I feel like there has to be some sort of, like, multiverse because they already confirmed that Jamie Foxx was going to come back as Electro and
The guy who played Dr. Octopus.
Yeah, Molina.
Yeah.
I don't remember his first name.
I always forget him, too.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, like, mean, I don't know. Like, I feel
mean
like
they're not going to bring back Topher Grace? No, I'm just kidding. They better not.
Who did he play?
Topher Grace played that shit version of Venom.
Venom, yeah, that's right.
And I want to reiterate that shit version of Venom.
Yeah, well, Spider-Man 3 was just a shit show to begin with.
It was god awful. I wish it never existed.
Yeah.
But no, I think to piggyback on what you're saying, You know, Sylvie's actions, it just opened up a big case. And I think it goes back...
A big can of worms, if you will.
It did. And, you know, I think Loki was right. Loki was smart. He knew what he was thinking about and talking about. Like, they should have thought about this before acting.
Yeah,
and
I agree.
Sylvie just didn't do it. I mean, she just took action. She went and she did what she did. And I think that's going to, like you said, it's going to open a big case of worms.
Yep.
You
know? Yep, it for sure will.
So. I think Loki was awesome. I definitely like this series the best out of WandaVision.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Yeah, I like this out of best out of WandaVision and Falcon and Winter Soldier. Not saying I wouldn't want to see other seasons of those shows.
Yeah,
but I'm just so glad Loki's that we're getting a Loki season two.
Yeah,
you know?
So far Loki's the only one that has gotten a season two.
Yeah.
So
they were good series, but at the end of the day, I'm really saying that Disney they did a phenomenal job with Loki.
I agree.
So,
Loki, I did like Falcon and Winter Soldier more.
It was good, but you know what? I can understand. I could live without a season two. I really don't think we need it.
Oh, see, I do.
Yeah,
two words.
Yeah, I know
Bucky
exactly.
Barnes.
Uh huh. Well, he might be a little busy playing Luke Skywalker. So,
well, we'll see. I'd be happy with that too.
Me too.
So.
But yeah, I think Loki definitely it definitely connected some dots. It definitely got us on the verge of something big now opening up into the MCU, and of course all these new projects that are coming up. Because I mean, it's got to piggyback on it. What has happened in Loki has now it's got to have some ramification and some significance in these movies, like what we just talked about, the Eternals, the new Spider-Man, and of course the most obvious to me is the Doctor Strange movie, the Multiverse of Madness.
Yes.
You know? So, good stuff, and I really think that Marvel's going in a great direction here, and I'm excited. I really am.
Yeah, me too. I'm also excited for our next few episodes.
Yeah, and I think we have some announcements before we end our episode here tonight. So, one big thing that I want to announce here is that in August, well, not in August, in the next couple weeks when we start doing some episodes... we're going to have a big giveaway.
Yes, we are. And we just have to hammer out how we're going to deliver it to you.
Yep. And basically what's going to happen with this giveaway is, so stay tuned to some of our episodes upcoming, because we're going to list more details about it, but this is going to be a Labor Day giveaway. I don't want to say it's an August giveaway because we're going to stretch it out to Labor Day.
So we're going to give you guys enough time to participate and, collect enough tickets.
Yep.
So,
but I want to thank John and Stacy, Malachowski. They were good friends of mine. I went to school with John, up at Wilkes when we were going to school there, and you know, we touched base. He just moved. He's obviously coming a little bit closer. He lived up in the Tucanic area. That's an area by us, and he's moving into the Clark Summit area. And you know, he loves our podcast. So thanks for listening. I really want to give him a shout out there. John and Stacy are really nice. And congratulations on your newborn that you just had. Beautiful baby girl. But yeah, John and Stacy are donating a Pennsylvania Lottery scratch ticket basket for us for our podcast show. And that's going to be our giveaway on the Labor Day giveaway aspect. So, but we're going to have more details later to come. Okay, so just stay tuned.
Yes, yeah, so within the next couple episodes, we're going to announce how you guys can enter and win said prize.
Yes.
So stay tuned.
Okay, and I think you wanted to also touch base. We have some cool episodes coming up.
Yeah, so last week I gave you guys like a little sneak peek, but I just want to, you know, mention we are going full speed ahead with that. So the lineup coming up is we're going to have another mob episode with Sean Kane. And then after that one, we are going to do, so like get your lists ready, people, get your lists ready. So we're going to do our favorite like TV themes and film scores. And then after that, we're going to do favorite sequels. So start thinking about, you know, like those things, join in the conversation with us, hit us up on social media, email us at garlicjarmedia.com. And like, we'll give you a shout out right on the episode. We'll say like, oh, this is Susie's favorite and it coincides with Matt's favorite. You know what I mean? So,
yep. And another big one I want to say is right around the first week of August, stay tuned because we're going to have a MTV anniversary special, which is gonna
do that. That's right.
Which is it's gonna be cool because it's gonna highlight some of our favorites and the best music videos of all time.
Yes.
So I think that's gonna be pretty cool.
That one I'm gonna have to prepare for because, you know, music videos, man, they've been gone for a while.
They have been. And, you know, we were I mean, listen, we can't say that because even where we were born in the late 80s.
Yeah.
So you got to, I mean, I get it. You know, the early 80s.
Yeah, like, I remember coming home watching TRL, you know, like.
And I mean, TRL never did justice because they only played maybe about a minute and a half of a music video. But still, you got music videos. But I can remember growing up with my brothers. Like, I mean, I can remember as early as going back to like 93 when Jurassic Park came out. I can remember watching MTV music videos with my brothers. And that's early 90s. And I remember like your whole morning block of music time was all music videos up until the afternoon when they had the countdown specials, the JVs coming out.
See, I was more of a VH1 girl. Than MTV.
Okay. All right.
Like, I really liked VH1's pop-up video, and then every year on Halloween, they would do this, like, around Halloween, not exactly Halloween the day, they would do a Michael Jackson special, and it was, like, a four-hour chunk special of, like,
the music videos, right?
It was the making of Thriller.
Oh, that's cool.
Which was
that's
so cool.
So, yeah,
I remember,
really
like, watching those, like, religiously.
Well, you gotta give him props. He wasn't only the king of pop, but he was also the king of music videos.
Yes. Like, I remember a lot of his music videos. Like, do you remember the one from Free Willy?
Yeah.
With, like, the shirt?
Yeah. Oh, God, man. He was more majestic than the goddamn whale.
Right?
Listen, I'm putting it right there on the table. I said it, people. You know?
So, there you go, friends. That's a sneak peek of what's to come. So, put your thinking caps on. Interact with us, join our, you know, the conversation about our episodes. Like, we're giving you enough time to prepare and send in your thoughts, comments, and concerns.
Yeah, we got some cool fucking shit coming.
Yeah,
you know?
We do. We really do.
It's real cool.
So, all right, guys.
All right. Well, I could hear the music getting louder. I mean, okay, I get it, guys. Yeah, you want to, all right, they want to pull the cane out on us.
There you go. All right, so stick with us within the next couple of weeks, guys. We've got some really neat stuff that we're cooking up for you. And again, join in the conversation, interact with us on social media. I'm getting the curtain.
Well, do you ladies of Spain?
garlicjarmedia@gmail.com. All right, guys, that's it for us. Maddie, if you want to continue your singing, and we'll just fade you out there.
For we've received orders to sail back to Boston, and so nevermore shall we see you again. All right, yeah, I'm done. I'm cooked.
All right, good night, everybody. Back again with you next week.